It's hard to accept, but child sexual abuse can happen in any community. Prosecuting these crimes means that kids have to disclose the details of what happened. As Wyoming Public Radio's Tennessee Watson reports, there are things that law enforcement, prosecutors, and social services can do to help kids navigate that process.
Kaylin Cook was born and raised in Green River, Wyoming. Spectacular rock formations dominate the scenery in this small town, but Cook's childhood there was anything but serene. She was just 2 years old when a medical condition raised a red flag. She says it was her aunt who clued into what was going on. An exam revealed signs of sexual abuse, but didn't provide conclusive evidence about who was doing it.
I wasn't really able to get on the stand and say he actually did this to me. I mean, a two-year-old just can't do that.
At age two, kids are just starting to put words together into simple sentences. Cook didn't yet have the verbal skills to convince anyone that her own stepfather was the perpetrator. And the case went nowhere.
And then it didn't come out again until I was nine, when I told my best friend that stuff was going on.
Through that friend, word got to the Department of Family Services.
DFS came and picked me up from school, and it was terrifying.
Cook had a brief phone conversation with her mom before being pulled out of school. She says her mom told her the allegations would tear her family apart. Cook was scared, so when DFS sat her down for an interview, she recanted. But the abuse continued, and at age 14, she disclosed it to her boyfriend. He told the police, and this time, she was brought to the station to do an interview.
There was no evidence. It really was just my word against his. I don't think the detective really did a good job with interviewing, and the case was dropped. There was insufficient evidence.
In her eyes, all of the mechanisms in place to protect kids had failed.
I was kind of dropped by the system. And then when I was 16, a conversation was taking place between me and my perpetrator, and I hit record on my phone.
And she got a recorded confession from her stepdad, which eventually led to his conviction. But he was only sentenced to 10 years probation. Watching her abuse drag out for 15 years fueled a passion to see these cases handled differently. So Cook pursued a career in law enforcement and now works as a victim advocate in Cheyenne. She says things are changing in Wyoming.
We're taking sexual assault cases to trial and we're winning them. That's super, super unheard of.
She points to a recent trial in Natrona County where a six-year-old girl's testimony helped convict her abuser. The investigator on the case was Taylor Courtney.
These investigations are by far the most complex investigations. They're largely circumstantial and a lot of times lack a lot of physical evidence. And not only are they difficult to work, but they, at the end of the day, they take an emotional toll.
And that's why Courtney works these cases with a multidisciplinary team, or MDT. Social services, law enforcement, and the prosecuting attorney work together to build a case and to help kids heal and recover.
Having the team is extremely effective at solving these cases and actually having the cases brought forth before the court.
He says a critical piece of this process is the Children's Advocacy Project. CAP, as it's called for short, is located just a few blocks from the courts and the sheriff's department in a simple one-story house.
Hi.
Hey, I'm Tennessee.
Hi, I'm Bailey. It's nice to meet you.
Bailey Height is a forensic interviewer who specializes in working with children. She uses open-ended questions to draw out the details of what happened. The technique also helps identify false allegations, which she says are rare. She shows me the rooms where she meets with kids.
You don't want them to be too stimulating, so there's distractions. So we try to keep it as warm, but as plain as possible.
The room where she meets with older kids has two big comfy chairs and an area rug. Kids under six meet in a room with a tiny table and two tiny chairs.
We get on their level when we do talking with them and then just offer crayons, coloring, so it's more comfortable for them.
She says the more comfortable kids are, the more likely they are to open up, and that's key. Sexual abuse usually happens in secret, so there aren't witnesses. That means a kid's testimony is the primary piece of evidence. And the more details a kid can provide about the circumstances of the abuse, the easier it is for law enforcement to verify their allegations. Each room has a camera, so members of the MDT can watch and hear the interview without overwhelming the kid.
So it's not scary for them because they're really only talking to me face-to-face and not a big group of people, but everyone gets the information all in one place so the child doesn't have to be questioned more than once.
The Child Advocacy Project also has therapists who offer support to kids as they navigate the criminal justice system and in the years that follow the conclusion of their case. Kaylin Cook, the child sexual abuse survivor turned victim advocate, wants all kids in Wyoming to have access to these services.
I know that going through the criminal justice system is extremely complicated, but at least when they come out in the end, they can say, like, I had a friend through this.
There are two other child advocacy centers in Wyoming, one in Cheyenne and one in Jackson, and they work with counties across the state. But it means kids or center staff have to travel, sometimes hours. Because of this, the three centers are working together on a gap survey to identify which parts of the state are in the greatest need of services, in the hopes of someday expanding. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Tennessee Watson.